Blog Talk Radio.
Respect comes from fear. This is how you get respect in this league. We need to find out in the first two series of the game, the little wide receiver, number 10, about his concussion. We need to fucking put a lick on him right now. He needs to fight. We need to fucking decide. We need to decide whether Crabtree wants to be a fake-ass prima donna or he wants to be a tough guy. We need to find that out. When he becomes human, he starts to take out that outside ACL. We need to decide on how many times we can beat Frank Gore's head. We need to decide how many times we can bull rush and we can fucking put Vernon Davis's ankles over the pot. We need to decide, and when they are fearing us, they give us the ball.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like Terrell. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4-for-26 saw the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table, five Philly guys diversified and educated.
Yo, Greg Williams is a nut. It's Thursday, everybody, April 5th, 2012, and it's opening day in the MLB. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, of course. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me tonight at the round table is my man Jimmy Williams and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we'll rap about the college basketball national champions, the NBA playoff picture, and our predictions on this MLB season, which is officially now underway. Of course, we want to hear from you guys, so join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call into the show and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. We want to give a shout-out to the radio family real quick. You can check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. You can also check out Brandon and Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. Lastly, check out JT, P. Coop, and Wana, ranked top five sports talk radio in Chicago, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 a.m. Central Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you tune in for the movement. And right now, make sure you tune in for those birthdays.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Jimmy, what's going on, brother?
What's good?
All right, I guess we got to hold it down until PJ get on the line in a few minutes. But, yeah, you heard the audio, man. What's up with your man, Greg Williams, man?
That just goes to show you, and we're going to talk about it later, that he's been far gone. You know, you on the investigation, and you're just like, F it. I mean, it's part of the culture. That is what it is.
He's like, it's whatever, son. All right, so the first birthday we got today is one Mr. Matthew Robert Bonner, better known to the layperson as Matt Bonner. He turns 32 today.
It's my birthday!
Jimmy.
Yay!
What do you think about when you think of Matt Bonner?
Yo, Matt Bonner has actually had a long career. I remember when he played in college. I think he played in Florida. I remember he played in Florida. And, You know, I didn't think he'd be in the league as long as he has been. But he's playing for the Spurs, and he plays a part in their offense. He's a role player. Not a great player, but at the end
of the day,
he plays far well. He's a good role player. How about that?
Yeah, that was the key word right there. He plays for the Spurs. The Spurs are the career elongators. Is that the word I'm looking for?
The Spurs definitely lengthened
the career of average players. You know what I'm saying? Like, he fits into a little niche. And if you play for the San Antonio Spurs, you can do one thing well and stick around for a long NBA career. You know, and he's a pretty good shooter. Especially for his size. I don't see him like cleaning up the boards or anything like that. But you know, you can step out and pop the three when they need him to do that. So Happy birthday shout out to Matt Bonner. Our second birthday today is one Mr. Stephen Jesse Jackson. Better known as just Stephen Jackson. He turns 34 today.
My birthday! Yay!
What do you think about when you think of Stephen Jackson? Because I only got...
Well, first off, it was hilarious when I found out that his middle name was Jesse, because obviously he's named after, you know, the Rainbow Coalition's Jesse Jackson. But with that being said, I have something to say about him, because he bothers me as a player, because he came out of a community college, and he's kind of an overachiever. He's a second-round draft pick, and it seems like every time he plays well and starts to get credit, it's like he can't handle getting credit for being a good player. Every time he gets credit for being a good player, he kind of disappears and does something crazy or stupid.
Yeah.
And also remember him from the whole Malice in the Palace situation, that team they had put together there. That was a good team.
Because that team, in my opinion, were the favorites to win the NBA title that year. But speaking of the Malice of the Palace, because that's where my mind goes to first with Stephen Jackson. Now, we all know that the whole thing, you know, started and ended with Ron Artest. He got, you know, the most punishment. He was the first dude into the crowd. But Stephen Jackson, in my opinion, was the biggest thug of the whole night. Because he went into the crowd, asked no questions, just started swinging on cats. I mean, but the funny thing is that story that we posted on our Facebook page a couple of weeks ago, which is like the most in-depth story I've ever read about the Malice in the Palace. When he speaks, he comes from a perspective that actually makes you feel, you know, kind of okay about dude. Like, he was doing what he had to do for his teammate, and then after everything went down, Ron Artest kind of threw them under the bus, asking to be traded, which, you know, ended up breaking up that team. And so
I did read the article, which was a great article, by the way, but... Mm-hmm. I remember when he came out of the stands, and he was in front of the camera talking like, "That's how we ride. That's how we ride for each other." And I'm like, "Dog, y'all not in the game. Y'all on a basketball team." He's talking like they was the Hoover Deuces or something. Like, "That's how we ride." I'm like, "Cuz, you're a professional basketball player. Like, what message are you sending?" Not that you even thinking about that at the time, but still.
Not to mention that they both went into the stands and picked the smallest guys they could find.
Yeah, my man said, "That's how we ride."
Not that Ron Artest is a punk or nothing, but they went to the smallest dudes they could find with glasses.
That's how we ride. I'll never forget that, man. Like, yo,
because
you know they played it over and over and over again.
Yeah, they definitely did. All right, so our next birthday is a former NFL wide receiver, unless you're still rocking somewhere. I don't know. One Mr. Isaac Jason Hilliard, better known in New York circles as Ike Hilliard. He turns 36 today. What do you remember about Ike Hilliard?
Yay!
Ike Hilliard is actually, he's been going for a couple of years now. He did retire. I think he retired with the Bucks. But you know, you remember him as a Giant. You remember him as a Giant. Everybody remembers him as a Giant. But I remember him actually playing. Another one of guys from Florida. What's up with all these Florida cats? But anyway, he played for Florida and you know, was a good receiver on the collegiate level. He was, you know, he was a good receiver on the pro level. I wouldn't say a great receiver, but he was a good receiver for those Giant teams.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say good. I wouldn't say very good. You know, I wouldn't take it there. But they had a receiving, you know, their starters throughout that stretch was like Ike Hilliard and Amani Toomer. And while those names, you know, they aren't the sexy names and wide receivers, they always, you know, they did their job.
They got it done,
They weren't bad.
They
caught
the ball
when the ball was thrown to them.
The Eagles had Ty Pinkston and, like, Charles Johnson. So, I mean, if you compare them to them.
Monty Toomer and they were some pretty good receivers in comparison.
You know, that
to
might
the
be the
division.
Single worst receiving core ever. And I'm not trying to make any excuses for Donovan McStrone in the dirt. But, yo, Ty Pinkston and, Charles Johnson.
Nah, man. See, I know a lot of people going to take me to task for this, but Ty Pinkston had talent. He was just a coward. You know what I'm saying? And anybody who's out there laughing right now,
especially
the Cowboys fans, remember how he was the Cowboys in New York. You know, he could get deep.
Yeah, he was a coward, so that doesn't help either. But.
And he could get deep, but he wasn't doing anything across the middle. Remember when they played the Redskins, he was talking about he lost the ball in the lights. He lost the ball
on
Sean Taylor. That's where he lost the ball, on Sean Taylor's jersey.
Exactly.
He was scared. But, I don't know how we got into that from Ike Hilliard, but happy birthday to Ike Hilliard. our last birthday is one Mr. Anthony George Banks, better known in sports circles as Tony Banks, he turns 39 today.
My birthday, yay!
Remember about the boy T. Banks?
Yeah, I remember he used to fumble like every three possessions.
Yeah.
So the crazy part is, like, if you look at his statistics in his career, you would think that he was an average quarterback if you don't remember him playing. And at times he did show flashes of being able to play in a league, but for the most part, dude was a turnover machine. I mean, he had more touchdowns than interceptions. But with that being said, he fumbled the ball so much.
Look,
I swear it seemed like
you had to be bad. You had to be bad because remember he started the season that Baltimore championship season as their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
If you can't rock with that defense, you're terrible. So he gave up his chance at glory, his chance at being, a starting quarterback on a Super Bowl team, and then, his chance at being the second black quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. He gave all that up to Trent Dilfer because he couldn't rock with the greatest defense since the 85 Bears. How bad are you if you can't rock with that defense back then? So, yeah.
No doubt, I guess
he was still on the team, got himself a ring, but he didn't get any of the glory because he lost his spot to Trent Dilfer, and now Trent Dilfer out here.
Yeah, he's another guy.
Acting like he everything.
The ball played like 9-10 years in the league.
Yeah. Some people definitely, have careers.
Like, be around. You'd be like, damn, can't be around for a minute.
You're like, why is he still here? But, all right, so that's Tony Banks. And that's our birthdays today, which are brought to you as usual by Days of Beauty Hair Salon at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. You can go on our website, click their logo, go to their website, call Lisa, and get your hair done. But right now, Jimmy's going to tell everybody what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. Getting that money to pay your internet bills so you can listen to the War Room.
And while you were on the grind, it's brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. For more information on Philly Auto Design, you can visit their website, PhillyAutoDesign.com, or go right to WarrenSports.com and click on their logo on our homepage. The first story I want to talk about that. Some dude scored 113 points in a basketball game. Now, mind you, it was a Lebanese league game. I know Lebanese had a league. But a buck 13 is a buck 13 because I can't score a buck 13 on 2K12 with one player. So what's your opinion on this Jabroni scoring a buck 13?
First of all, if it's going down like that, because this dude before this game he didn't seem like anything special. So I'm thinking about packing it up and flying it over to Lebanon and see if I can get a run because this dude was averaging 7.6 games in the 23 games prior to his breakout game, and that's a hell of a breakout game. Listen to his stats from this game, man. He shot 40 of 69. Like, first of all, when you're averaging 7.6 a game, why the hell are they letting him shoot 69 times? Well, let's say why they letting him shoot 20 times, because by then, by 20, he was on fire, so they had to keep letting him shoot. He made one free throw the whole game. Who scores 113 points and makes one free throw?
Yo!
He took 59 three-pointers and made 32 of them. Yo, this dude was scorching somebody, and whoever was guarding him should be ashamed of themselves. Because after, the 10th three-pointer at least, you think you want to guard the line a little bit? You want to get up in his face?
At what point do you start fouling him as well? Like, for me, that's even more embarrassing. Like, how do you make one foul shot when you score a buck 13?
Yo, by the time the dude would have got 50 on me, I would have started a fight. Because he averages 7.6. This isn't Michael Jordan. This isn't Kobe Bryant. This is
Cedric Ceballos, man. Cedric averaged more than that, man. This is
Robert
Tyrone Teague. This is Terry Teagle, man.
Well, the dude's name is Muhammad El Akhari. So, as far as basketball history goes, he has the highest scoring game since, 1946. He's in the record books, man. Whoever
That's
he is.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
And AI can't get a run over there, though?
I know. I mean, come on. If he's doing that, AI could put up, 300 in the Lebanese game.
Man, let's move on to a sad story. Get your opinion on this story here. A boy killed his older cousin. But he made a mistake while they were imitating wrestling moves. Now, I know that wrestling has been on a tear in terms of their ratings or what have you with The Rock coming back, but I don't know if they want this kind of press with a guy imitating moves on TV and killing his older cousin.
Yo,
what are your opinions on this story?
It's definitely sad, but I can't front. And, you know, strike me down if I'm a bad person, but I laughed when I saw this story. And if you haven't heard the story and you think I'm crazy, I'm going to give you the details of it, and this is why I laugh. First of all, the guy, he was a 24-year-old. He was about to watch, you know, WrestleMania 28 that just happened a few days ago. They were all excited and everything, so they start doing wrestling moves on a little inflated mat that they had on the floor. His 14-year-old cousin puts him in with is known in the wrestling world as a rear naked chokehold for 30 to 40 seconds. The 14-year-old who put the guy in the move, he's 5'6", 110 pounds. The 24-year-old who got killed was 5'10", 220 pounds. So you let your – the witnesses said he refused to tap out. I refuse to tap out, too. If I'm twice this dude's size, he should have flung dude off his back. Yeah, I don't understand how this could happen. But they said he had him in it for like 30 to 40 seconds. He wouldn't tap out. He turned blue. And when they finally like, yo, he's turning blue, by the time he let him go, it was too late.
Hold up. First off, I got a couple thoughts on that whole story. It's a difference between being like a coward and being stupid. There's a reason that you can tap out. That's one. Number two, young boy got a career in MMA fighting. If he can, he could kill a cat. Could you imagine his backstory when he comes to the cage?
Yo,
he already caught a body. Like, well, his rear naked choke game is made. Like, come on, cuz.
Nobody going to want to get caught in his rear naked choke inside the octagon.
He's going to start tapping out the gate. Like, I'm done.
Yo. But the guy was twice his size. And I'm not saying that exaggerating. He's 110. The dude was 220. This guy's
Listen,
like 110
man.
Pounds more than him. That rear neck.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. When if dude's cold is like that, the size doesn't matter. Yo, you see cats.
Obviously, it was
specifically,
like that.
Specifically, like when you watch an MMA, I've seen cats like a buck ten. So before they had, before they got regulated, and they started having weight divisions and things of that nature. When it used to be just like whoever had the best fighting style, when the Gracies and those guys fought. Those guys were like 98 pounds beating guys that was 450 pounds because once they get a hold of you, it's like some of them holes, and the rear neck of choke is one of them. If somebody sinks that in right, but it's the reason you tap out. He's just trying to be show courage.
And listen, they're family. Y'all in the house with your cousins. You could tap out. Nobody really going to know about it. It's cool. Like, come on, man.
Now, the thing about it is, it's like, what happens now? Now you're gone. Dude is going to need all kinds of psychological help. He's ruined.
Yeah.
Sad story,
but seriously,
man.
Like I said, I didn't mean to laugh, but that dude should be ashamed of himself in heaven. Like, I die like
yo!
That.
Yo!
I die
it's
like that.
Slander upstairs. That's crazy. Let's talk about another embarrassing story. Your man, Ryan Leaf, the number two pick behind Peyton Manning in the draft, if you remember. He was arrested twice in 3 days for the same charges, man. What's up with your boy, man?
Yo, and the charges were burglary and possession of dangerous drugs or something like that. The first charge, they said he was trying to break into a friend's house to steal painkillers. So he gets out on bond. I believe the bond was something like $7,600 or something like that, $4,600, something like that, something in the four digits. 2 days later, he gets arrested for the very same thing. Yo, every news outlet who reported it in writing was like, this is not the same story from Sunday. Like, he's been arrested again on the same charges. No, I mean, I know it's hard with the expectations that he had. I know life probably is just not easy knowing what you could have been and what you should have been. And, you know, from all accounts, you thought dude was pretty much okay with everything, but then you hear stories like this, and you're wondering, like, what is he going through?
Pills was he trying to get to? Like, dude, has that blue magic?
It was something serious if he breaking into that. I mean, because after that first story came out, he put out a statement saying, you know, the truth is going to come out, people are going to realize that it's not what it seemed, and then, you know, you're thinking, like, okay, well, maybe there's a side to the story. Maybe dude had his stuff, and he was breaking in. I don't know. You know how OJ was, breaking in to get his own stuff. Didn't really work out for him, though. But
yeah, he got roofed too.
Yeah, so I don't know what's gonna happen to this dude, but I, you know, before all the, you know, whatever happens, I'm just need for dude to get his life together. I heard an interview with him one time. It was around like Super Bowl. Somebody was interviewing him on Super Bowl Row. I don't even know why he was on Radio Row in the Super Bowl. I would stay away from football. But he was basically bragging because they were asking him, like, with the kind of, you know, with the failure of Jamarcus Russell, do you kind of feel like you're off the hook as being the biggest bust of all time? This dude is, like, proud of it. He's like, hell no. He was like, come on, the expectations that I had? Like, yo, what is wrong with this cat? He was saying his expectations were way bigger than Jamarcus Russell, so there's, like,
yeah,
he was expecting,
I mean,
to be,
I don't,
the savior.
I don't even know if I agree with that, considering Jamarcus Russell got the kind of money he got. Besides, Jamarcus was number one.
Yeah.
You were number two.
No, but I kind of felt what he was saying, though. I think expectations-wise, I think Leaf was a bigger bust. But you always have to factor in the fact that Jamarcus Russell got like $40 million up front and money.
That's
talks.
What I'm saying. When you talk about that dough
money
he talks. Got, though.
But he was supposed to be the savior of the San Diego Chargers. You know, they at the time Jamarcus went, remember, he wasn't even, they weren't even sure if they were going to take him first. And then when he ended up being the first-round pick, the market was what it was, so they ended up having to pay him that kind of money. But you're right, it does factor into it. I just think, as far as expectations go, it was Leaf, but that money, you can't ignore that. So, you know, Jamarcus, he got $40 million for nothing, basically.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, when you think about the money he got, it's like, yo,
nothing. Why is he bragging on it, though? I don't think if you ask Jamarcus Russell, he's going to be, you know, trying to live with that title.
Well,
yeah, I'm the big
one getting high off pills and one getting high off syrup, so... Who knows what may come out of his mouth?
Purple drink.
I don't even keep hearing these crazy stories, man, but I know everybody out there who's listening to us live as well as the podcast has heard the story about the Wizards rookie, Chris Singleton, dropping 10 stacks on the lottery. Yo, and then make stupid statements such as he was either that or blowing it in the club. You're in the DMV area. What is your opinion of Chris Singleton and his statements and actions?
Now, you know what? The whole 10 stacks on the lottery thing, I wasn't too mad at that because I'm like, look, he's on a rookie contract. The jackpot was $654 million. I mean, you get quick, like, P. Diddy status just off hitting the lottery. So if you got it,
with that too. I'll let you finish. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. If you got it, 10 stacks isn't really a lot of money, you know, because everybody who plays the lottery when it gets that big, they think they're going to win. As soon as you buy your ticket, you're thinking about what you're going to do with the money and that kind of stuff. So, you know, dude thinking, you know, $10,000 investment to get $640 million. Okay, that's fine. That's one thing, whether we like that or not. But the fact that he said, well, if I didn't spend it on lottery tickets, I probably would have just blown it in the club. Like, is that your only other alternative? Like, that's why they think we're stupid now, because we actually do things like that. Because he probably would have gone to the club and got bottle service for all his friends and strange females and blew $10,000 for no reason. He probably still did that. So it probably doesn't matter what $10,000 it was. He probably still did that. I think those comments are very silly and very stereotypical. You know.
Here's my problem with with this, the whole thing. It's like, yo, why are you telling the world you spent $10,000 though? If you want to spend $10,000, spend $10,000. But for you ticking and, like, you know what I mean, talking, yo, why are you drawing attention to yourself like that?
That's
yo?
True, yeah. Well, you know, Twitter, we always talk about that.
It's like, yo, why are you paying attention for? Like, we all on Twitter. I talk trash on Twitter. We all talk trash on Twitter. But the thing is, I'm not trying to draw attention by showing what kind of bread I got by, like, picking $10,000. And then to say that I would have blew it in the club. But, yo, people struggling out here, fam. If he ends up in somebody's trunk, it wouldn't even shock me.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, the average Joe who's, you know, going to these basketball games and basically making a great living for them guys, we don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm going to blow it on the lottery. I'm going to blow it on the club. Like, $10,000 would save a lot of people out of some sticky situations right about now. And he tweeting that kind of stuff. So I definitely feel you on that. I definitely feel you on that. It was stupid.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That,
if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was my issue. Like, yeah, come on, cuz. Like, seriously.
But you know everybody now in society are attention whores, and Twitter's going to be the death of society, especially with, like,
yeah,
celebrities and athletes.
Some of them dudes, you're going to be an attention whore, and you're going to get some kind of attention that you wasn't looking for. And that's what's going to happen, yo. But anyway, let's move on to another story. Let's talk about the top cornerback prospect. Morris Claiborne scored. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. He scored a 4 on the Wonderlic test. There's no way he went to score himself. He scored a 4. He scored a 4 on the Wonderlic test.
Yo. I don't even know. First of all, I don't really know how much the Wonderlic test really has anything to do with football, because my homie Brandon from Sports Trap Radio and Brandon on Sports, he said he actually took one when he was working at 610 WIP in Philly, and he said it was like a lot of math and word problems and stuff like that. Now, I can understand what it would have to do with, you know, with having a job, because they kind of want to see your deductive reasoning skills, you know, how you would solve problems and stuff like that. So, of course, we know it doesn't make or break a player. Dan Marino got a 16 out of 50 on his, and he's looked at as one of the smarter quarterbacks in NFL history. But a 4? Like, that's crazy. But even if this dude is an idiot, you know, tapes show that he knows how to play cornerback. My question with the whole thing is, who leaked this information? Who leaked this information? Why do we know he got a 4 in his Wonderlic test?
Yo, it's embarrassing, man. Like, yo, it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing. That's going to stick with him forever because, like, Vince Young did a horrible on the Wonderlic as well, and it still sticks with him. And, yo, come on, man.
And, well, you know, the conversations I've had all week, you know we can't have a sports conversation without it turning into a racial thing. And I'm not saying that to say that people's opinions about that might be wrong, because they very well might be right, but people were saying, you know, it's another attempt for them to make us look stupid. You know, that's why it got leaked out.
Well, if you don't want to look stupid, you're doing better in the test.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, even if that's the case, okay, I grant people that who have that opinion, but at the same time, there could be other things. An agent from a rival cornerback or somebody else trying to jockey for draft position, you know, he could have leaked it or something like that. But in the end, if I'm a NFL GM, I'm not going to pass up on this dude. He's the obvious number one prospect as far as defensive backs go. I'm not going to pass up on dude because he got a 4. You know, I'm going to just put him in, you know, remedial playbook classes. See if we can't catch him up a little bit.
That's crazy. My thing is, though, like, and I don't want to get too deep into the whole racial thing because we all know racism exists, but at the same time, it's like we have to hold ourselves accountable for some of our actions. Like, just do better, and you don't even give them any reason to even. No,
yeah.
I don't even want to get into that because I don't want to check.
Well, got the first question.
I don't know what that is, so I'm going to say yes.
I don't even want the black protection that's coming at my neck, so I'm going to move on. Yo, these stories are crazy, man. A dog eats his owner's master's ticket. The master gets under the way today, you know. But anyway, so he made his dog, like, regurgitate the ticket. Yeah, it was a practice ticket, wasn't it?
I'd have body beat the hell out of that dog. Still, man, you know how hard it is to get on Augusta? They still not letting ladies on.
but it wasn't even a real ticket, though. It was like a practice, y'all, wasn't it?
Man, you can't, man. If Tiger wasn't a great golfer, he probably still couldn't get up in Augusta. Ladies can't get into Augusta. Remember, one of their sponsors is IBM, right? So they have a history, it's tradition that they grant the CEO of IBM, you know, a membership, a free membership to Augusta.
Yeah.
But it's also tradition that it's a men's only club. The current CEO of IBM is a woman. So now, you know, it's a big hoopla going on whether they're going to let her in. And I think they're really, really trying to avoid it. But that's not the story. The dog ate his tickets. You know, he was all ready to go. So he actually had to call you know, and show, and he sent them the picture of the tickets regurgitated, you know, all nasty and put back together just to prove to them that he's not, you know, doing some junior high, my dog ate my homework type stuff. And they actually sent him some more tickets. So it worked out. He got himself in the sports news. We're talking about him. All's good. And he got to see his practice round or whatever it was.
Unbelievable.
That was crazy.
Real quick, though, since we're speaking of that, how do you think Tiger will fare?
He shot a 72 today. Not bad, but, you know, usually I heard, like, at the Masters, at Augusta, if you're not in the top seven by the end of the first round, nobody who was outside of the top seven has ever won the Masters. I don't really know what place he's in now. I hadn't checked, but I know he did shoot a 72. He didn't look bad, they said, but, you know, going into it, I kind of expected him to perform great. So we'll see what he does over the next few days. I'm rooting for him, man. I want him to go ahead and win. I want him to catch Jack, too. I'm tired of this. I don't know Jack like that.
none of us know Jack like that. You know what I mean? It would be. Besides the fact that you want someone that you can tell your kid, like, I watched him play.
Yeah. Smack Jack.
You know, as opposed to Jack. Man, salute to Jack, y'all. Anyways, man, this last story. You're an alumni of this prestigious university, and I know some people in our chat room as well as people listening in are also alumni of the school. Howard University shut down the entire athletic program. Damn! In the midst of possible NCAA violations. Not one specific sport. It shut down their entire athletic program.
You know what, even though?
You're an alumni. Give me your thoughts on this.
That sounds bad. And it would be bad if it was Ohio State, Penn State, something like that. But athletic program ain't worth a damn. So, you know.
Hey, if it wasn't for the program, some people would be able to get their education, man.
Yeah, but this is the story. I've been following it and trying to get the, you know, the actual factuals. It's about books. They said some student athletes were using book vouchers for things other than books. Now, you know, when I was in school, I never used a book voucher. So I don't really know too much about them, but I would figure that you can't use a book voucher outside of the bookstore. Now, they have a grand new bookstore where you can buy plenty of things besides books, but I don't see that causing such a stir, you know, that they have to shut down all the programs and then do their own internal investigation. So I'm figuring maybe students were selling their book vouchers, you know, to other students for less money so they can go out and spend the money on something else. I don't know. That's, you know, I'm speculating like we usually do. But the university and the athletic director, they have come out and made a statement saying that, you know, even though there's rumors out, they haven't actually shut down the entire athletic program. But what they have done, they've made some student athletes ineligible. So I think they pretty much have some people in mind who they think was doing this, because some people that are playing spring sports can't play in their games. But the games that are scheduled are going on. So yesterday, that was the big news. But, you know, late last night, they came out with the statement saying we didn't actually shut down, you know, the whole thing. But there are some ineligible people. And even if it did shut down, you knew they were going to fix it before the real sports came back in, before football season, basketball season, all the fall sports.
They call it the real sports, not the welfare sports, huh?
They shut. If it was a real shutdown, they would have been shutting down, like, women's lacrosse, you know, softball, and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'll stay up on the story and let everybody know.
I like to call them welfare sports because they only are around because of the major sports. You know what I mean? Those major sports. Major sports pretty much pay for those other ones to even exist.
But at HU, you never know. Like, those sports might be carrying football and basketball.
I want somebody to do a study to just show me what universities around the country have sports that actually support basketball or football. Because, you know, it's some lacrosse team or some water hockey team across the country that's, like, big and supporting everything else. Anyways, man, those were the stories that happened while y'all were on the grind. And again, that was brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Dev, tell everybody how they can get in touch.
All right. PJ, you want to do that? Or
you want yeah, I hit it up.
Yeah, you can handle that, then we can get
it
up. Top.
All right, y'all. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, just click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Then click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign up through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is pretty much like raising your hand. So raise your hand, and we just might call on you.
In our chat room,
Skyview was talking about, he's calling them One Game Wonders. He said he wants one of us to do PR about people making themselves eligible for the NBA draft after 1 year of college. Huh?
Hey, Jimmy, the funny thing is, because I don't know if anybody's noticed, but we decided to kind of retire our Pass the Rock segment. Not retire it altogether, but only do it once in a while instead of weekly. And the first day we do that, somebody requests a PTR.
Yo, I just want
to say
it's a lot of different ways to think about that. A lot of these cats are crazy, but if not for that 1 year rule, they wouldn't have went to college to begin with.
And they'd be worse
than they are. Yeah.
So they'd be messing up the league worse than they really are.
Yeah, pretty much, more or less. Let them get their 1 year contract and be out.
All right, so hot topics. Well, first, I just wanted to ask you guys, is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? If that's the case, then try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free Audible trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, by getting other things done at the very same time. I'm tongue-twisted over here. All right, so, you know, we just wanted to start off kind of on that subject that Skyview was talking about, but first, congrats to the Kentucky men and the Baylor women and Brittany Griner for winning the national championship. Did you guys watch? I'm pretty sure you watched the men's game. Did anybody watch the women's game?
Yeah, I watched the women's game for a little bit, yo, and I think the Sixers should cut Elton Brand. Try to draft Brittany Griner.
Yeah, I said the Baylor women plus Brittany Griner, but yo, she's different, man. She's faster, she's bigger, she's more agile. She was blessed genetically.
Long.
Yeah, like for everyday life, I'm pretty sure, you know, that's not how she would like to be, would like to look, would like to sound, but as far as what she does and what she's going to do for a living, she's been blessed genetically. And
she's be hard for her to find a button up.
I bet you it's one of the dudes in our chat room probably smashed up. But that's either here or there. Yo, let us know if you smashed Brittany Griner, yo. Anyway, it's either here or there. I want to see somebody admit it. But anyway,
she might smash them. She might flip their ass over.
What are y'all thoughts on the men's game? Because, you know, it looked like Kansas was outmatched for a while, but, you know, that's kind of Kansas' thing. They get down in the first half. Like, before that game, coming into the championship game, they were something like -6 in the first half of the tournament games, and they were +33 in the second half. But, you know, when they played those other teams and had those great second halves, they weren't playing against Kentucky and all their,
yeah,
you know, future pros. They did a pretty good job in the second half, but they couldn't get over that hump.
Right.
I mean, I agree. You pretty much described the entire game right there, just that short that short little statement you made, because you can't keep – there's only so many times you can go to the well. And when you're playing a team as talented as Kentucky, you just can't get down like that and you exert so much energy trying to come back and expect to win the game. Specifically when you got unibrow, like, just running through the middle looking like Bill Russell out there.
Yeah, he was getting all types of comparisons after that game. I mean – from, like, Larry Brown, former Sixers coach, was comparing him to Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain. I'm like, wow.
Connie Hawkins.
He was. Yeah, Connie Hawkins. You know what I'm saying?
Marcus
he was dominating. Yeah, I know. Bring it down on reality a little bit. Like, he hasn't even gotten to the NBA yet. But I guess he's talking about on the college level, which
yeah, like
compared
at
him
that
to those
same
guys
age.
They did. Yeah,
yeah,
their
yeah.
age, I guess.
Bobby
but,
Knight,
yeah,
the same thing. He compared him to Bill Russell.
Yeah, I heard that too.
It's gonna be hilarious to watch Michael Jordan pass on him and like draft like Harrison Barnes or something. Michael Jordan's gonna find a way to play.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hilarious.
No, but really, the comeback could have been complete, man. They got close and they got nervous, man. A couple of turnovers. Remember Johnson did the he traveled when he tried to shoot the ball and then Davis came over to block it, so he tried to dribble in midair.
Well, you exert so much energy trying to come back, though. Like, by the time you get back, it's like, yo.
But remember, they had that other bad play where the guard ran the baseline and tossed it, like, out of bounds. Like, they got nervous when they got real close.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it. But sometimes you just can't be afraid to get your shot blocked. That's my thing. Like, you don't have to do that. Let the dude block it. He either hit it out of bounds or hit it right back to you. It's not like he was going, you know, in a position to control where it was going to go. Get the shot block, man. Don't turn the ball over. There's too much riding on the game. But like most of us expected, in the end, Kentucky was just too much for them cats. But, Jimmy, speaking of the, you know, you called the dude Unibrow. Now, you know, we're not afraid to, you know, talk trash, slander anybody. But have y'all been surprised by the amount of mainstream media jokes about this man's eyebrow?
Yeah, I was like, wow. Like, I thought we only did that.
They called him Unibrow during the game. Somebody said something about, you know, one of the announcers or the halftime guy. Somebody called him Unibrow. I'm like, yo, that's a little,
yo.
I'm like, damn.
Mike and Mike took a shot at him the next day. On CBS Sports, their headline on their website said, take a brow instead of take a bow. And it's crazy because, you know, he's a college student, and usually they're afraid to say that college students and college teams choked in a game. Like, they won't say that. But you're going to sit here and talk about this dude's appearance? I mean, I'm not one to chastise him because, you know, I've been tearing him up the whole time, but that's what we do. I'm surprised with them. That's what we do.
Greeny says, have somebody set him up with a waxing appointment to go get them Jones waxed. Like, that's it. Straight at the boy.
That's going to be his calling card. They're going to find a way to market his unibrow.
Yep. Head and shoulders going to do something, throw something at him. Head and shoulders or something.
It's going to be Anthony Davis and Troy Polamalu in the head and shoulders commercial.
Yeah. Troy Polamalu going to tie his hair to his unibrow. It's going to be a knot tied in like a rope. Tug of war with Polamalu hair and Anthony Davis unibrow.
Yeah. So what's Coach Calipari going to do? A lot of people thinking that New York Knicks job is going to come open. And I don't know. He just has such a bad rap, you know, inside college basketball circles. And I've heard so many people say that money is more important to him. He keeps saying he's going to stay. But what do you think is going to happen when the Knicks dangle that $9-10 million a year carrot in front of him?
Yeah, and that's what you got to think about that bread. He may want to stay now because, listen, man, one of the biggest lessons I learned in life, I learned from Ted DiBiase. He said, everybody's got a price. So when that carrot is there in front of him and that money is there, everything may change, man.
Are you taking the lesson from Russell?
The $1 million man.
Yo, everybody got a price, man. That's just the bottom line. So.
But he could also he could use an NBA offer. He could use that as leverage to get more from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty sure he could get more from Kentucky. He just won them a national championship.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's due to get, like, what, 4.8 or something from Kentucky, like 4.8. But the thing is, I heard him, he was in an interview, I think it was earlier today, and he was saying that he was like, it's not about the money. He said, I have enough money, I can't even spend it. Me nor my kids can spend it, so I don't need the money. And that was probably
Chris
just
Singleton.
Trying to.
Listen, man. When you know you can sign paperwork and get a couple of them M's, everything changes, man. In the words of the great Randy Moss,
straight cash, homie.
I'm gonna play, man. You know,
but
everything changes, so we shall see.
No, but nobody says anything positive about Coach Cal. Like, they're thinking that his history doesn't really prove them wrong, but everybody just swears he's cheating somehow because, you know, he's taken the one and done rule and he's been so successful with it. But I think he sells these players some, you know, when you win a national championship and when you come as close as he's come before, you know, this week, you can sell that to these kids. Like, look at my program. I'm going to get you into the NBA. You're probably going to be a first-round pick. And we have a chance just in 1 year of playing of going to the Final Four, winning the championship. Now, when he goes to recruit, his rap is going to be even stronger since he won that championship. So I think he just knows recruit and flip the rule, you know.
He's giving them kids the chance to live their dream. That's their dream, is to go to the NBA. Like, I mean, nobody gets mad. I mean, you don't really chastise Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and those guys. They leave early to live their dream. If they want to go back and get their degree, they can. But, I mean, he's giving them
my thing is this. Why would he get the bad rap? Like, he's a coach. I'm pretty sure he doesn't like the rule. He just learned how to go around.
Because he's the one that figured out how to work within the system. Anytime there's a system in place to try to stop something, and the first person to figure it out, they always get slandered and talked about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he hates that rule. There's no such thing as
Senior
Night at Kentucky.
I mean, he was innovative in how he flipped it. And when you're that innovative, you're going to get the hate. Look, man, if they ain't hating him, he ain't doing it right. So the fact of the matter is, he figured out how to be a college coach in today's game. The game
Eagles
has changed.
7-beat.
There's guys like Bobby Knight and who have coached in years past, but the game is like, not to say it's passed him by or he couldn't coach at this level again, but there's different things you have to be able to adjust to today's game. A lot of
I was reading about Bobby Knight and his recruiting tactics in that Magic and Bird book, When the Game Was Ours. Yeah, Bobby probably couldn't get down in today's game, especially with the one and done rule, because the way he recruits, he comes at you like, I'm not sweating you. So, you know, you can do whatever. And he did that to Magic and Bird. You know, Bird ended up going, but leaving. But he went to Magic, and, you know, and Magic was like, you know, I don't really know if I can get down with you screaming at me and stuff like that. So he got up like, all right, peace. Like, you gave up on Magic Johnson that easily. Like,
he was trying
to show people it's about me. It's not about you. It's about me.
So, do you think that would work in today's game?
No,
that's
what I'm saying. That ain't going to work. No. You got to sweat these guys a little bit. You can't
make Calipari is a salesman. That's what makes him good. He's figured out how to sell the idea of that one and done. He's got guys that would rather come and play with him that could probably be starters for Indiana or start for Michigan, but they would come and be a sixth man with him because, he has like a seven-man rotation. They know they're going to play. They don't need to be the man, but they know that they're going to be on the spotlight. Every time they play, they're going to be on stage, and they're going to get that same type of exposure.
And for so many people on that team to be that talented, you know, he got them dudes to play together. You don't see that much when there's that much talent on the team. He got them dudes to play defense. Like, a lot of those dudes don't
defense
care about
the
defense.
Thing.
Yeah, they
yeah.
love them.
Yeah, PJ called the boy Gordon Gekko. He said he'd go in and give his sales speech and walk out the room.
Gordon
with a PowerPoint.
Pit, drop the mic, wait for the phone call.
He got a good PowerPoint game.
At a Mike Brown game.
I'm going to pull that keynote out and get to work. Like, look, this is what we're going to do. Come on, man.
So
dry erase keyboard.
Yeah, what about they rioted twice in Lexington this week because, you know, they rioted when they got to the – when they won the game in the Final Four and they beat Louisville, and then they rioted again after they won the national championship. Now, the second time, one dude actually got shot.
Damn.
Dude got shot at the riot, and the next day, doctors had to actually amputate this dude's leg. I mean, not his leg, just his foot. But
now, here's my question. Did he get shot by the police or another rioter?
No, another rioter. Like, they were beefing for some reason, and, you know,
yeah,
he got out the car and clap,
yo,
clap.
How y'all beefing in y'all in a celebration?
Yeah, because people celebrate all ignorance. Right, we're trying to tip over or burn the wrong car. Like, I probably would have been out there shooting cats, too.
He probably pinched his girl butt or something.
Yeah, either that or he tried to throw a match in his car.
Yeah, they be bugging, man. Like, yo,
do
you want to shoot,
that?
So you tear up your own city. Come
That's
on, man.
I don't understand
that.
Why do you burn your city down because you're happy? Like,
that's college.
Yo, there should be.
I didn't even think that was a good idea
win.
In college.
Whoever they beat, y'all should be able to travel to that city and tear their city down.
Yo, I don't remember that happened. Did that happen when the Phillies won in 2008? In Philly?
No. I mean, Cap is out there.
But Philly fans are the
crazy.
Most, you know how they think about us. You know how they think about us.
Yeah.
People can burn
of
down
course.
Cars and shoot people, but that's not worse than us booing people. Like,
if you really want to keep it funky, the day that Philly's won, like, we stopped tearing up cars and burning down stuff that day. We stopped for a couple of years. I mean, that's
the regular
that
stuff. You're talking about the regular stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, look, speaking of that, let's, because we didn't get this in last week, and opening day is here. Matter of fact, I got on the monitor right now, the Cincinnati Reds versus the Miami Marlins. Miami Marlins with all the hype about to go 0-2, and I'm loving it. Let's get our picks in for the season, before the season get too deep. Y'all want me to go first?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can kick it off.
Well, I got... Just quick, I ain't even going to explain it because our baseball expert couldn't make it on today, so we don't have anybody to explain all this stuff. But in the AL East, I'm going to go with the Red Sox winning that division. I don't really know why because they're a mess right about now. I'm just trying to be different and not pick the Yankees. The Central, I got Detroit winning that division, Texas Rangers winning the West, and... Go over to the NL.
Who you saying the Central now? Who you saying the Central?
In the Central, I got Detroit Tigers winning that one.
Oh, okay.
In the National League East, I still got the Phillies. I really think this is the Phillies' last hurrah. You know, I think it's World Series or bust this year. If they don't get it, I don't think, you know, I think the window's closing because the division is getting much better. The Nationals are supposed to make a move for at least a wild card this year since they have two wild cards. You know, the Braves were pretty good last year and expect to still be good. The only team in the division who, you know, people really don't have expectations for is the Mets. But how long is, you know, a New York team going to stay down, even though this team doesn't have money like a New York team? In the Central, I got the Cincinnati Reds, who are about to go 2-0 because of the Miami Marlins. In the West, I got the San Francisco Giants. Now, go back to the wild cards. In the AL, the two wild cards, I got the Yankees and the Angels with the machine, the L, what's his joint? The man that he didn't want to say? That billboard, L what?
It's machine in Spanish,
El Hombre.
El Hombre,
yeah.
Hold on. So you said you got the Angels going as a wild card. Who do you have winning the AL West?
The AL West, I got the Rangers winning, and
okay,
I got the Yankees
right,
and Angels right, going as wild cards. In the NL, I got the wild cards being the Marlins and the Braves, so that's three teams out of the NL East. So you see what I think about the rest of the National League. So in the ALCS, I got Detroit versus the Yankees. Even though I picked Boston to win the division, I got the Yankees stepping it up at nut-cutting time and making it to the ALCS against Detroit. In the NLCS, one more time, I got the Phillies versus the Giants. In the World Series, I got Detroit versus the San Francisco Giants with Detroit Tigers winning the whole thing. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
All right, I'll go next. In the AL East, I have the Yankees winning just because Kentucky won. And every time Kentucky wins a national championship, the Yankees go to the series. But that's either here or there.
Last six times.
In the AL Central, I'm picking the Tigers. In the AL West, I am picking the Angels to win the division. In the NL East, the Phillies, of course. In the NL Central, I'm actually picking the Reds to win.
That's what
Joey Votto got $251 million, so they better win the division. All right, NL West, I'm also picking the Giants. Now, in terms of the wild card teams, I have the Red Sox winning one of the AL wild cards. The other one going to the Rangers, because I have the Angels winning the division, but I have the Rangers making it as a wild card.
Right.
In the NL, I also have the Marlins winning the wild card. And the other wild card will go to, here's my my pick, the Rockies. I got the Rockies winning the wild card.
Yeah, now, they're gonna bring Jamie Moyer up from the minor league. He's gonna be playing
there you
from.
Go. Old ass Jamie Moyer.
From the
now,
Oracle Zone.
In the NLCS, I have the Phillies playing the Reds, with the Phillies advancing to the World Series. And yes, I am a homer, so FOH. In the American League, I have the Yankees playing the Angels.
Mm.
And I have the Yankees and Phillies meeting in the World Series. In terms of who I think is going to win the World Series, I'm not ready to give that prediction. But no, seriously, I'm gonna say the Phillies, and like I agree with you, Dad. If we don't do it this year, it's over with.
Yeah, if we don't do it this year, yeah. I ain't getting the MLB package next year. It costs too much.
All right, my division winners in the AL East, I got the Yankees. I didn't really see the Red Sox doing much else. And I think that's, like, their only competition, and the Red Sox didn't do too much in the offseason. I'm going to go with AL Central. I'm going to go with the Detroit Tigers, like my man Prince Fielder and Justin Verlander. AL West, I'm going to go with the Rangers. I like the additions of Yu Darvish, Joe Nathan. You know, I think they have a pretty decent rotation. Wild cards, I got the Tampa Bay Rays and the Angels. In the NL East, I got the Phillies. In the NL Central, I got the Reds. In the NL West, I'm going to go Diamondbacks. And my wild cards are the Braves and the Cardinals. Okay, so now my American League Championship game is going to be the Yankees against the Detroit Tigers. In the National League Championship game, I got the Phillies against the Diamondbacks. That's my sleeper team this year, Keisha. The Bat. All right. And then in the World Series, I got the Phillies against the Tigers of Detroit. And winning it and bringing it back to Broad and Pattison, I got the Phils. And, I mean, I'm praying because without – we got Jimmy – we got a small ball team. We got Jimmy Rollins hitting it in the three spot. Ryan Howard and Chase Utley is somewhere chilling on the beach. We, you know, so I don't know how we're going to start
Juan Pierre
off.
Hopefully Juan Pierre don't bring his antics to town.
I used to run base like Juan Pierre, but now I'm
but
playing.
But that 1-0, that 1-0 game today,
yeah.
Get used to that. Get used to that.
I know.
At least until, you
and
know,
that was
big guns
Pittsburgh.
Come. I know, right?
That's against
Pittsburgh. Damn! We only can muster.
When we play a major league team, it's going to be tough. We play a professional team.
Poor Pittsburgh, man. I feel sorry for them. No, I don't.
No, Pittsburgh. We need Pittsburgh on the schedule. We need them on the schedule.
I know, right?
Pad these,
them
know,
to win.
Wins. All right, so those are our predictions, and we are not sticking to them. Jimmy, you got
it. You already know. Let's talk some hoops, though. Y'all ready to talk some hoops?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Oh, ain't time for that yet.
We got to pay the bills. And I want you guys to know that our NBA talk is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. And as I always say every week, you shouldn't have a BlackBerry or Palm phone. If you do, get your upgrade. The latest episode is always available for you. No sticking needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website. Or you can go to Stitcher.com/The War Room. Stitcher Smart Radio is the smarter way to listen to radio. First thing I want to talk about in terms of the NBA.
Get your Wonderlic
up. Of the week. The NBA players of the week are one Paul Pierce and Chris Paul. No pun intended with the Paul there. Zeb, do you have their stats?
Yes, sir. Paul Pierce, led the Celtics to a 4-0 week, which is bad for my hometown Philadelphia 76ers. He averaged 25 points, which is like 6 points above his season average, 8 rebounds and 2.5 assists. Chris Paul, he guided the Clippers to a 4-0 mark. That was in the midst of their six-game streak before the Lakers snapped that last night. He averaged 21.5 points on 56% shooting, dished out 11.3 assists per contest. And those are your player of the week.
Chris Paul, I actually said Chris Paul is my MVP just because of the way not only the team, but just like certain individuals, the way they play now with a certain hunger they didn't show before. But anyway, that's enough about Chris Paul. And speaking of the Sixers real quick, just because you said something about how that's not good for the Sixers, yo, they're embarrassing, man. What's going on? The Toronto, though, yo?
Man, I don't know, man. I mean, because the Celtics, like you said, they're streaking. They lost to the Spurs last night, but the Sixers can't take advantage of, like, Toronto. I'm figuring by the time they have the Celtics-Sixers matchup on Sunday, they should have probably been at least tied, you know, going for the division, because that Toronto game should have been a gimme. And they go out last night and get blown out by Toronto. But you know what?
Yeah.
I never thought that I would have to say this. I think a little bit of this latest slide, you have to put some of it on Doug Collins, man. I don't understand what he's doing sometimes. It seems like he's showing a lot of favoritism out on the court, first of all. We always talk about how he gets on Evan Turner a lot.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or does it seem like Drew Holiday is like his favorite? Evan Turner can't win no matter what he does. I mean, the other night, Evan Turner against the Heat hit like 6 straight buckets. They come back from break. Yeah. Evan Turner's on the bench. I'm like, what is he doing? I don't get it. Like, I think Drew Holiday is a hell of a young player. I think he's kind of regressed as a point guard. I don't think he's going to end up being that pure point guard that we thought he was going to be, because, you know, he kind of likes to put the ball in the hoop too. But to me, it seems like it might eventually come down to either or for Doug Collins. And I think if it comes down to that, he's going to end up trading Evan Turner, keeping Drew Holiday. While Drew's going to be a good player, Evan might go somewhere else and turn into a star. But I don't really like where this is going. I don't like his substitution patterns lately. Like, what do you
Evan Turner has smashed one of his bunnies. That could be the only reason, because he's been the coach's punching bag since, like, day one. And I thought initially he was doing it to make him a better player, like, you know, to show him that you have to earn your spot. And when he finally got his chance, he started to play. Now, he had a couple bad games, but, I mean, this is a crazy season with 66 games packed in this way. So fatigue starts to play a part as well, but you have to let the guy play through it.
On the screen.
You know, they're just like, they have to make a move. I don't know, because this team, is they are what they are. They're a good team. They're not a great team. They're a playoff team, but they're not a team that can compete for a title. So if the ultimate goal is to compete for a title, something has to be done. That was not supposed to be our next topic. PJ, you got anything to say about the Sixers?
No, I was just going to say, and the problem is that we're going to get slotted in a bad position in the playoffs. We're going to end up seeing either the Bulls or the Heat first. And that's, we just don't match up with the Heat whatsoever, man. I think we have a better opportunity with the Bulls. But, like, just the way they play, I don't understand the inconsistency. It's just frustrating, man. I don't know. Evan Turner, man, he got a speech impediment, so I don't know how him and Larry Brown could have – I mean, Larry Brown – how him and Doug Collins could have had such a – you know, I don't know. I don't know what he did to the man.
He told the coach, McCanny.
Yo,
but
McCanny. Yo, no disrespect to Evan Turner. It's not his fault, man. He got a speech in front of him. Yo,
yeah,
I'm crazy,
like,
hey,
man. I don't understand it either. But I think if they don't win this division, I think this season is a failure, man. Because the only way they have a chance to make some progress from last year, possibly go to the second round, because, you know, teams got to take baby steps. Even when Allen Iverson was here, we used to go to the first round. You know what I'm saying?
Lose to the Pacers.
Yeah, well, we actually got past the first round a couple times, beat Orlando, lose to the Pacers, you know, but they took steps. And then they finally got there, beat the Pacers, you know, won the Eastern Conference, went to the finals, whatever. This team, if they don't win this division this year, they're not going to take a step from last year, because we're not. If we get matched up with the Heat again, like why go? Even the closest game, we're not going to beat them. So,
nah, we can't.
It's going to be PJ. It's going to be repete si vous plaît, as Mademoiselle Edge used to say. That's exactly what it's going to be.
you sound like Madame Bromberg.
Madame Bromberg. The Sixers need Brittany Griner. But let's move on, though. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame inductees came out. Do you have the entire list in front of you?
I do, but this thing I printed out, I don't know what happened to this paper. I know we got a Jamal Wilkes, Reggie Miller, who we just talked about a few weeks ago on our HOF or FOH. We got Jimmy's boy, Don Nelson, Ralph Sampson, which they're saying three-time National Player of the Year. That's what they're saying before his name, so obviously he made it off his college merits. Katrina McClain, NBA referee Hank Nichols, and a women's all-basketball team called the All-American Redheads, which were – they were the first women's professional basketball team. They were kind of like the women's version of the Harlem Globetrotters. So,
what about the Harlem Wrens, man? Anyway,
yeah.
Harlem Wrens had a game. But shout out to Reggie Miller,
the
man.
The Harlem Heat.
We talked about Reggie. You know what, though, Jim? I'm so on the fence with Reggie, I forgot what I said about him. It could be either or, so I forgot if I put him in the Hall or not.
Jamal Wilkes. I remember him playing. He had that weird form. But Ralph Sampson, man, that's our kill homie. Ralph Sampson made the whole thing.
We need our kill on here to tell us why Ralph Sampson made it. He could probably vouch for his induction.
He was a Ralph Sampson fan as a kid. He's the only one alive. I only think Ralph Sampson kids liked him as much as I killed him. But Ralph Sampson also made
I'm going to scream real quick, but keep that rolling because we got to talk about the snubs, but I'll be right back.
Yeah, no doubt. But Ralph Sampson made that nut-ass shot against the Lakers that kept them out of the finals that year when Boston beat Houston when they got that crazy shot into the form, yo. So that's back then.
Yeah, I remember
Powell,
that.
Man. Him and I think back then his name was Akeem before he changed it. Remember, he was Akeem.
He changed it when he retired, didn't he? Or did he, like, the last 3 years of his career or something? When he changed his name to Hawk instead of Ock. But anyway... Yeah, Ralph Sampson, that's interesting. Like Dev said, I think because they are, like, prefacing his, like, name and induction with his college stats, he got in there based off of his college accomplishment. So my question is this. Is Christian Laettner in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think – no, he's not. He's not as a set, but
eventually,
he used just a collegiate career, Christian Laettner.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have had a better collegiate career than Christian Laettner.
We got a couple comments in our chat room. Mello Williams, what's up? No, that's my cousin. But he's talking about he's afraid the Sixers might even lose the number 8 spot. You know, Philly fans, they get scared when it comes to that. And also, Skyview says that Ralph Sampson was completely dominant at Virginia, and Reggie held the 3-point record for a while. That is true.
Yeah. I think when we did the segment, I think I put Reggie in the Hall of Fame.
I didn't put Reggie in because
I think Jimmy was the only one. It's still difficult for me. I can't even remember if I did or not. That's how close my vote is.
Just being the greatest of the great in the Hall of Fame. And to me, Reggie Miller was never the best at the position. He was never a top 5 player of his time. He was a great player, but that doesn't mean that you're a Hall of Fame player just because you're great. I'm shocked Jamal Wilkes got it.
I actually think I can make as good a case against Reggie Miller as I can for him.
Yeah.
And I put him in the Hall of
Fame.
That's how much I'm on the fence. Jamal Wilkes was a really good player, but like you said, best of the best type thing.
Jamal Wilkes averaged like 16-6. Like career average was like 16-6.
Maybe this will give you some perspective. Jim, when we talk about Jamal Wilkes and Reggie Miller, let's talk about the dudes who didn't get in, who were up on the ballot, which was Maurice Cheeks, Celtics and Rockets coach Bill Fitch, which everybody thought the team got him fired and Larry Bird wasn't really cool with his team actually doing that. And Bernard King didn't get in, and Dick Motta didn't get in either. So Jamal Wilkes and Reggie Miller over, let's say, Maurice Cheeks and Bernard King.
I got a problem with that. Like, yo, Bernard King should make it just for being able to play in them short shorts. He should get a nod right there.
One of the best defensive point guards ever. You know,
that's my problem with the Hall of Fame. You got guys like Senator Bill Bradley, who played in the NBA. He's an NBA Hall of Fame. He averaged like 12-3.
But he became
a Hall of Famer.
Yo, what were Jamal Wilkes' stats? Did you say he was a 16-4?
It's around there. No, he was around like maybe 16 or 17. And like 5 or 6 boards somewhere around there, but he wasn't a 20-a-game scorer. No, he wasn't.
Because Bernard King was a 22. Yeah, Bernard King was a 22.5 point and 6 rebound a game throughout his career.
Bernard King was a killer.
Yeah, he was. I wonder, did Jamal Wilkes win any championships?
Yeah, he did. He won.
Jamal Wilkes won like 4 chips.
He won a lot of chips as a Laker, right?
That's probably what. That's probably what got him in over that. Then I mean, because his stats ain't that impressive.
Yeah, he averaged 17.7 and 6.2 rebounds.
Nyrand says that Ralph Sampson's pro averages were 15 and 8.8 a game. So that's his number.
Ralph Sampson was supposed to be one of the greatest. He wanted to be a shooting guard.
Yeah, Bernard King had that weird, like, he would, like, just straight pull up on you. Like, his mid-range game was ridiculous. He would straight pull up on you with high socks and tight shorts.
His socks was choking off his circulation on his knees. That's why his knees got bad like that.
We had
a call from Jersey on the line. I guess they hung up.
Oh, all right. Well, we can call back. We got a Dev, you want to see who's on that call
now?
Yeah,
I'll check it out.
All right, no doubt. PJ, do you think that Bernard King should have made it? Like, I know that he's the name that we all remember. Do you think he got snubbed?
I mean, the reason I say I think so is because I'm like, yo, I'm comparing him to, like, who's in there. And, I mean, that's what's hard for me not to, because I'm looking at him like in 84, he averaged 33 points a game for the season. I mean, the 83-84 season, he averaged 33 points a game. I mean, he had and then the year before his last year, he averaged 28 points a game. His last year, he only averaged 7 points a game, but, you know,
played,
he beat up
the
hurt.
He played wearing a rope chain. Remember, he used to wear a chain, like, back in the day.
Yeah, he did.
He used to play wearing
nice,
a Dookie rope chain and give out 30.
You know what? I feel like he was underrated, though. I don't feel like he got that type of acclaim for being the type of, I mean, if nothing else, he was a scorer. He was definitely a prolific scorer. And I don't feel like he was ever really – I mean, he was kind of mentioned, but it's never really up there with those guys. I mean, I guess because – I don't know, he played
– he doesn't have that – he doesn't have any – well, think about it. A lot of the other guys in that era have, like, moments that you remember or a championship run.
Yeah, like defining moments.
He filled the statue up. You know, he didn't have any, like, specific moment that you remember. Remember Bernard King did X, Y, Z?
He was getting Dominique on.
I don't know. One day he had like 55, though. One day he had like 52 or 55.
I think people calling in and pressing 1 when they don't mean to, because people ignoring me when I go in there and then they bang on me. Like, oh, snap.
Yeah, they scared to get on the air. Y'all want to talk to us? Talk to us. I know some of y'all got something to say. Like, I know Nyrand and haters in our chat room slandering as usual, trying to disrespect Magic.
Yeah, so if y'all want to call in and talk to us, the number is 323-410-0012. Now, if you just want to listen, don't press anything. If you want to talk to us, press 1, and we'll get to you.
Yeah. Anyway, I was asking him, does he think Bernard is a snub? And, Dev, do you just think he was a snub, Bernard was a snub?
This one of them things, we might have to do a segment on Bernard.
Well, let's hold off.
Because it goes back to what we always say. If you talk about certain people that's in there, then you could say that. But then we have to break it down and see if we really think that's the
case. No doubt. We'll get back to Bernard another day. But something I noticed today, the Spurs won again, and no one's talking about the Spurs. They're one game out of the entire conference lead. It's like they just do things under the radar all the time. What are your thoughts on the San Antonio Spurs? Like, do they have a shot at actually coming out of the West?
With them, it's all about health, you know, because once you get up in age, you know, you got people like Manu who always want to get hurt. So it's all about health. If they can stay healthy, then I don't see why they can't challenge. Even though Tim Duncan seems to me to be like a shell of himself, Popovich is such a good coach and keeps that team, you know, so competitive. And, you know, they just play strictly off smarts. There's no reason why they can't. You know, they may get into, like, the Western Conference Finals and maybe get run out of the building by a younger team, but they're going to be in there.
I think people sleep on them because of their – I think people sleep on them partly, too, because of last year what happened to them. But, like you said, they're still – I mean, they're still winning games. They're still in the dang – in the hunt at the top. But Manu plays like a football player, and he has been that way his whole career. So, I mean, I guess you figured he is going to start breaking down because he just plays with just, like, reckless abandonment. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. I think that the – you got teams like the Thunder, though. I guess it depends on their matchup. I mean, it's something – like, I look at the Thunder, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, they're a very explosive team. Like, I don't know about them defensively all like that, but, I mean, from an offensive and explosion and taking, you know, turning rebounds and turnovers into points – it's going to be tough for a team like San Antonio to keep up with that. I don't know. Popovich is a good enough coach to devise a game plan to try to slow that down and stifle that, but I don't know. I think it may be a little bit tough. Like Dev said, I think the age might come in. So I don't know how far they're going to get, but I think they'll be a hard out for anybody.
Real quick, two things real quick. Brandon from Brandon on Sports just checked in on our Twitter. He said he knows he's late, but he has the Phillies and Tigers in the World Series. And Naran in our chat room made a comment. I want to see if you agree with this. He said that Greg Popovich is the best coach/GM ever. Now, what I think he's saying is the person that holds both titles at one time, because I don't know if he means the best coach ever, but he says coach/GM ever. Unless he means he's, you know.
Yo, you got to give him props. You got to give him those kind of props because, you know, I just finished reading the book Moneyball, you know, about Billy Beane and out in Oakland baseball. Yo, he's kind of like that. Like, he goes after players that nobody else really values. And a lot of times he's going outside of the U.S. to do that. Some of the guys don't come over right away. So while he's waiting on his next project to come over, you know, he's going under the radar, and Popovich is just plugging along, you know, recruiting and scouting these guys. And then they turn out to be great players. But I really don't know if some of these guys would be great players in other systems. But
yeah,
when it comes to Spurs, you know, remember we talked about Matt Bonner, not that he's one of the foreign guys or one of the big projects, but remember when we were talking about him earlier in the show, we were talking about how on the Spurs, everybody fills a role. You know, even if you can do one thing well, you fill that role and, you know, they come together like Voltron over there. It's crazy how he keeps that team competitive.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. And Pop is one of the greatest of all time. I just, like, he just bothers me because of the way he took that job was kind of fraudulent to me to begin with. Because if you remember, Pop was just the GM of the team when they had David Robinson back in the day. And David got hurt, and the team stunk to high hell. And I think Bob Hill was their coach. Once they realized they got the number one pick at the lottery and Tim Duncan was coming out, he removed Hill as the coach and made himself the coach. He didn't even go looking for another coach. He knew that the Admiral was coming back, and he knew he had Duncan. He was like, you know what? I'm the coach.
I could be
that doesn't bother me. But with that being said,
yeah,
he does get the best out of some of these guys. I don't know, like, what kind of scouting program they have, but they find guys like, yo, if you can play ball and you're, like, the middle of, like, Bucharest on a broken-down basketball court, they'll find you. he must, like, run, like, a human slave trade or something. Like, you know, I just find these dudes, man. He like Jimmy Dolan going around finding the air up there and whatnot.
Because of the story you just told, once Duncan retired, he probably going to just go back up to the front office.
That's exact. Once Duncan retired,
he's like, I'm done.
I'm done too.
He's going to have one of the best coaching careers ever and just call it quit until the next big thing gets drafted.
Popovich recruits the foreign players like John Thompson used to do for African centers. He used to go to Africa to find his centers. For the Georgetown for years.
Dikembe Mutombo.
JT too. Bunte Bunte. Bubuka.
Ow. Came out of Georgetown. He's still getting centers in Georgetown, yo.
What'd you say?
They still get centers in Georgetown. Hibbert went there, right?
Yeah. Yo, and Shout out to our people at the Steeds Academy over in Senegal. They must have been, John Thompson must used to deal with them like exclusively back in the day.
Yeah,
what you got for me? What you got for me? How tall is he? I'll be there. He's on his dying king. How tall is he? How you spell his name again? How you spell that name again?
What you got for me?
He got a visa.
He got a visa.
I'm coming.
Get the program passed out.
The Lakers. Let's talk about LA. The Lakers and Clippers. They played last night. The Lakers won. The Lakers won four straight. The Clippers had won six straight until their streak was snapped last night. I know everybody wants to talk about Blake Griffin's dunk, which was nasty, by the way.
First of all, two of the three dunks he had last night were offensive fouls, but I've come to the conclusion that they're never going to call that on dude ever again because they don't want to stifle him from dunking because it's exciting.
What I find hilarious is every
he
time
hacked
he does
you
it,
when he dunked.
The announcer says, somebody just got Mozgov. I feel bad for Mozgov because it's now known as getting Mozgov.
Yeah, his name
even
is a verb now. His name is a
verb.
So full of action, his name is just a verb. Yo,
scared of
the funny thing about it
tough.
Is
he might come say something to him. You said something about him?
No. But on the one dunk, because Blake elbowed, like the one was a complete over the back, which is hilarious. Then the one where he jumped up and he like elbowed Gasol in the face. Yo, I'm like, how did he do that? He jumped up in the air and threw his elbow out, then elevated a little bit more and banged it.
But how you
know what happened,
me?
Man?
How you hacking me while you banging on me? That's weird.
Gasol said, I'm just rolling into position, and I got elbowed. See the bottom of the sneaker.
But this is my thing, though. You know, the quick-to-conclusion society that we live in. I mean, the Clippers were all the rave, you know, earlier in the season. They were the best team in L.A. and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. You know, they start out well, and then they just go into hiding, and you think the Clippers are back. And then they go on this six-game streak, so I don't know. You really don't know what the Clippers really want to do with themselves right now.
They really are. Yeah.
They don't play good defense
to me.
If you watch them play, also they struggle in the half court. And that's what, like, if you think about the playoffs, when the game slows
down, they
have to play. When you have to play in a half court set in the playoffs, you wonder how they'll fare, considering that's when they struggle.
Right, because they have the point guard to do it, but his supporting cast is full of athletes. So they want to run, they want to dunk, and stuff like that. So you're right, once the playoff starts, it's going to be a struggle for those guys because the other team's going to try to slow it down. Yeah, exactly. Like DeAndre Jordan, like,
come on.
Besides
come
being
on,
an athlete, his skill level is trash.
If he wasn't an athlete, he'd be a tall bartender somewhere. He'd be on a rock. He'd be a tall bartender of chickens down Pulaski Town. Shout out to chickens. But anyway. Yeah, man, I think that's going to hurt him in the playoffs, though.
It definitely will hurt him in the playoffs. The Heat on Chicago's heels, yo, with 17 straight home wins. Will Derrick Rose's injury cost them this season?
I think so. I mean, it's not that the team is doing bad without him. It's kind of surprising that they've held the conference lead and the league lead without him. But, you know, when he comes back, first of all, I think they've underplayed his injury the whole time. It's either that or they were just buying time because the team was doing okay without him. So it really depends on what the real deal is. If he's really hurt to the point where he really had to sit out all of these games because he's practicing now, that could hurt them in their chemistry. I mean, I know he was the MVP last year, and they should know how to play with him by now. But, you know, they're going to go up against some tough teams in the East. The Celtics are trying to turn it on right now. They're better than the Sixers, but if they get that matchup, the Sixers are kind of confident because of some of the games they played against the Bulls this year. But I think without Derek being in the lineup for all that time, you go against the Heat, they're probably just going to get smashed.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
I don't know
that.
How he's going to beat
him. Watching the Heat play, like, when they're missing either one LeBron or Wade, it seems that the team plays better. What did you guys think about that that article that Brandon McConnell, I know that his brother's in our chat room, he wrote a piece for us called Dwayne Wade for Sale. talking about moving Dwayne Wade possibly from Nets in favor of
I think it was a great piece, first of all, but it's no different than what we said before they stepped on the court together, though. We used to ask, how is it going to work? They do the same thing. They
same
both kind of need the ball in their hand. They're unselfish. We're not calling them selfish, but they need the ball in their hands to be effective, whether they're going to shoot or make something else happen for their teammates. You know, it's hard for LeBron or Wade to stand off the ball and wait for things to happen. So we kind of saw this coming. Not that they aren't, I mean, because they're still talented enough to win a championship, but I don't think the team will ever be as dominant as they thought they were going to be just by looking at them on paper. Like, LeBron looked at the situation on paper like, man, me, D-Wade, and Bosh, man, we're going to kill the league for, you know, not one, not two, for like
that's
6-7 years to come. So
yeah,
I don't think
video game speak.
I don't think with them two playing together, I think one of them and Chris Bosh with some great role players around them is a good enough team to win a chip, and they'll do it more efficiently.
Yeah,
it might still happen now.
People always compare them. People like to compare them to the Celtics, but that was a perfect fit in terms of what each player brought to the table when they came to the Celtics. Well, Pierce was already there.
Yeah. They weren't two Larry Birds on the Celtics.
Yeah.
They weren't two Larry Birds. Yo, and in last night's game, if it wasn't for getting B.I. slapped by Kendrick Perkins on that foul, you wouldn't even know that Dwayne Wade was in the game. Like, he almost was. I mean, he had some key moments there, but he wasn't really as effective. He wasn't typical D Wade. Now, he was coming off the injury, so I know that played into it. But LeBron was way more effective in that game. And I guess when you have two players that are the same player, it'll kind of be like that. But it's just amazing how – what is their record without D Wade? Wasn't it something like crazy, like 9-1 so it's just like, I don't know, it's kind of the D Rose thing, like sometimes without player, I don't know.
But you know what that also, what you also can attribute that to, it's just LeBron's propensity to defer. I think he could still play the way he plays without D Wade if he was there, but when he's there, LeBron treats him like he's his big brother. I got to get D-Wade the ball, or, you know, I got to chill for some time. You know, be LeBron at all times, and the team will probably be better off for that. Dwayne Wade is going to get his whenever he can get his, but LeBron has to be LeBron at all times.
Skyview brings up a point in our chat room. He says, they don't know if you remember or not, but Dr. J and McGinnis had the same issues because they did pretty much the same thing, being able to coexist on the same team. So it does happen, but it was a great piece, and I thought it was interesting because
it was the same problem they thought Walt Clyde Frazier and Earl Monroe was going to have in New York, but they ended up, you know, playing well together, well enough to win the championship.
Yeah, and the same reason why Portland didn't want to draft Jordan because they didn't want him playing. They didn't know how he would play with Clyde, Clyde.
Clyde.
That's one thing, man. And this has nothing to do with what kind of does. Like, watching the Heat play, yo, there's no way that anyone can convince me that Christina Bosch is not a feces stabber. Because, yo, his mannerisms are so feminine.
He's not a what?
He's
not even a feces grabber?
Feces stabber?
That's all I got to say, man. Let's go to the next story.
Did he just call you the feces stabber, man?
Yo, man.
Yeah, I mean, so it is, man.
What's wrong with you, man?
Y'all know what I'm saying.
Jim, when you said the Celtics earlier, you were talking about the new big three with, you know, the newer big three with Garnett, Paul Pierce, and them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really wasn't talking about Kevin McHale.
I wasn't clear whether you were talking about the old Celtics or the new Celtics being a perfect fit. But you're right, because Paul Pierce, they know who the go-to man is in that situation. Ray Allen and Paul Pierce don't do the same thing because Ray Allen doesn't need the ball. You know what I'm saying? He's going to go spot up somewhere and be the underachiever that I think he's always been. Ray Allen has a skill set better than any two-guard I've ever seen in my life, but he doesn't want to be the greatest two-guard you've ever seen in life. You know, he wants to shoot J's all the time. That's cool. He do what he do. And you all know how Kevin Garnett is. He just want to carry the team in other ways, be the all-around dude. So Jimmy's absolutely right.
Talk
that
trash.
That's definitely a different type of big three and you know they kind of fit together a little better than with the Heat. The Heat just looked at the situation on paper, like, yo, me, you, and Chris Bosh, we can't lose, man. But you know, like we always say, man, they should have huddled. They should have huddled a little more before they did that. I mean, they did. They supposedly had their little summit, but they should have huddled longer.
Yo, real quick,
yeah.
Before we get out
of
that,
I thought you were talking about the old Big Three, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I was talking about
that's
how the
why
Big
I went
Three
back to it because CJ was talking about Larry Bird, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I was like, it ain't true, Larry Bird.
Yeah, well, I know it's one of seven, so I was talking about the old Big Three as well, but I was talking about how the Celtics got together, and they considered them the first Big Three before this whole, shift in the NBA and how they fit. But before we got to basketball, I was going to ask you guys again, is it a wrap for our Sixers? Like, are the Celtics just going to win the division? Is that it?
Maybe that question. I ain't got the schedule up, but we're getting blown out by Toronto. It might be a wrap. I don't know. They got a showdown this weekend, so we can possibly make it interesting at the very least. It seems like it's done. If you want to answer,
yo,
it seems like it's over.
Here's the funny thing. I can tell by the silence that you dudes aren't confident at all. This season
here's the problem,
like,
too. It's the way they're playing right now.
Well,
like, I feel
like
the Celtics are like,
crazy.
Yeah. That's true. The Sixers are just getting really inconsistent right now, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes going into the playoffs is how the team is playing, not necessarily what their record is, or it's their health and how they're playing at the time. And I just feel like the Sixers right now seem very, uncertain of themselves. Like, nobody's confident. Like, they're not.
Right. And last year,
like,
they actually went into the playoffs playing better. But, you know, we just ran up against
the
wrong team.
Right.
Might be a wrap.
So that's why that's the only thing I think is going to hurt us. I think the way what they're going through right now is going to doom us, man.
Yeah, it's crazy because like this whole season is like it's just so disappointing considering how it started, considering the way they were playing, even the games they lost, the way they competed in the beginning. It was just like,
That's gone now. It seems like
even
that's not there
like, you feel like the game is never over. Like these young boys are going to fight. Even though we can't win a damn close game, you know. We like 0-9 when it's a 4-point
game. And I know that was a bad thing, man. I know I said it was a bad thing, but I got two more things real quick. Your man, what's up with your man Iggy throwing Lou Willville under the bus in that article talking about you don't understand why Lou can't play this?
Yo, I didn't see that article. What was it about? I saw the title, but I didn't read it.
They were talking about, they were giving Iggy credit. They were saying that Iggy, from if you look at his defensive statistics, he actually plays better defense than Kobe Bryant and a lot of the other players who are considered the great defensive players.
Right.
And he said the reason he's able to play defense is because at some point he was asked to be a go-to guy, so he knows the tendencies of players who are asked to be scorers. And he said, I always find it funny how people who have an easy time scoring can't play defense. And he used Lou Williams as an example.
Lou
Williams is a great scorer.
Damn.
He said, it shocks me.
He's
really shocked me that Lou can't play defense.
He said, it shocked me that he can't guard anybody. Like, dang.
It
was a very good article. It was a Sports Illustrated article. He spoke his mind, and I enjoyed the fact that he did that. So I'm thinking if he had the heart to just come out and say that about a few of his teammates, maybe it's something he razzes Lou Will about every day anyway. So maybe it wasn't, like, off guard. Maybe
he
had a balance between the two of them.
I said, damn.
Yeah, that is kind of harsh, though. He said he can't guard nobody.
First thing I want to bring up in that. This is the last thing I definitely want to bring up. Is y'all man, Dwight Howard. Yo.
He played himself. Did y'all watch that video? Hey, if you guys.
Which one? The one with him in the
out there. If you haven't seen the video with Van Gundy and Dwight Howard at the, you know, little press conference they were having at the shoot around yesterday, it's on our Facebook page. We posted it probably about an hour ago, right before the show started, we posted it. So you can scroll down and find that. But, yo, that situation is getting crazy.
How awkward was that, though, today, cuz? That looked so weird when he came out and started talking, and Van Gundy was like, yeah, that's what I was just telling him. But you wasn't just telling us that, coach. You just told us that Dwight tried to get you fired.
For the people who didn't see it, Van Gundy was, you know, they were at the shootout, and Van Gundy was being interviewed by the media. He's telling – the media is asking him about rumors that Dwight Howard asked for Van Gundy to be fired at the end of the season. Van Gundy, instead of – you know, you expect a coach or you expect anybody to say, oh, those are rumors, I don't listen to that. He actually acknowledged it, said, yeah, it's true. I heard that. And they said, from who? He said, I heard that from, like, you know, management and things like that, but I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about winning this game tonight. So they go on with the interview talking about winning the game tonight and all of that stuff. And Dwight Howard comes over there trying to be his little jovial joking self, puts his arm around Van Gundy and starts cracking jokes. Van Gundy asks if I'm done here. He gets up and leaves. They start grilling Dwight Howard about the situation, saying, did you get your coach, you know, did you tell them to fire the coach? He starts trying to play out the dude in the media who originally reported it. Like, y'all going to believe what he says? They was like, well, Stan Van Gundy just said it was true. Yo, his face changed like, oh, man. Like, what am I supposed to say now? Like, yo, that situation has gotten crazy.
Yo, he flip-flops so much. As a matter of fact, he should be the Republican nominee for president. That's how much he flips.
Yo, but he sat there really trying to throw the reporter under the bus who reported it, not knowing that his coach just now said, I heard it was true and management told me.
He said, who's your source?
Yeah.
Yeah. The coach.
Who's your source? The little dude that just got up.
The little short guy over there, that's the source.
Yo, his face changed. He stopped joking around. He started getting a little irritable. That was so weird, man.
I'm like, yo, that situation is crazy.
Do y'all think
Gundy is a bad coach? Do you think Van Gundy deserves to be fired?
I mean, the team pretty much seemed like they quit on him sometimes.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but sometimes, even if you are a good coach, sometimes it's time to reevaluate
the team
and take him in a different. Yeah, pretty much. But my thing is, Dwight Howard has handled the media so bad this season. It might be worse than LeBron, y'all, in terms of how he's handled this whole thing.
Well, at least the quantity is, because he's, like, doing something stupid in the media every week now.
Yeah, he keeps changing, yeah. That's what it is. At least LeBron's is like a one-time dumb event, pretty much. But Dwight just keeps changing, and he's emphatic about his changing. Like, whenever he changes something, it's like it sounds like he's, you know, he's made his mind up. He's come to this decision, and it's it. Then in, like, 2 weeks, he's 180 degrees on the other side of the joint.
Yeah, because he's talking about, I'm a player. I have nothing to do with the coach. I'm like, Dwight, they've already confirmed it. They already told the coach. The coach told us.
Yeah.
He was definitely lying.
What you say about that?
Kay Lang in the chat room said, I watched the video. I'm not a psychologist or anything, but Dwight Howard was lying through his teeth.
Let's get some football talk before we get off air. Let's talk some football because a couple of stories you want to get to. So tell everybody how to get in touch with us real quick.
All right, if y'all want to get in touch with us, just check out our website at warroomsports.com. And, you know, if you want to call in and speak to us about any of tonight's topics, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening on your phone, like we told you earlier, and you want to talk, you know, just make sure you press 1 and we'll holler at you. But, it hit the fan about this Bountygate thing. Now, this isn't the thing. I don't know if this is knowledge that Goodell already had and that's why he came down so hard. But if he didn't, Greg Williams' comments might have pretty much sealed the deal, nailed his coffin. He may not ever coach in the NFL again. Now, we got two clips. We played one before the show came on, but some people might not have been around for that. So we could play one, you know, like we did with the Hardaway comments that time. We could play one, talk about it, and then we'll play the other one since they're both like a minute apiece. So let me play the first one. We tried to take the juiciest parts and put them on here. Here's the first part.
We got everything in the world.
Wait a minute. Hold up. I forgot. We got to preface this because this isn't the censored version. So if you got any kids in the room and you don't want them to hear the foul language, you might want to tell them to, you know, scoot out the room for about the next 2 or 3 minutes while we play this. And this was a pregame speech the night before the Saints went to play the 49ers in the playoffs this past season.
We've got everything in the world to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head. We want him running sideways. We want his head sideways. Little 32, we want to knock the fuck out of him. He has no idea what he's in for. When he's on the sideline, we got to turn that motherfucker over, turn our coaches over, turn the spectators over, go get that motherfucker on the sideline. It's a great game. It's production business. We get fucking Smith right there. Remember me. I got the first one. I got the first one. So lay that motherfucker out. We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage, and we're going to kill the fucking hit. Every single one of you, before you get off the pile, affect the head. Early, affect the head. Continue, touch and hit the head.
Damn! Yo, he sound like Saddam Hussein talking to the Iraqi army or something, dog. He said, continue to hit the head. Hey, coach, can we come back to the sideline when the play over? Continue to hit the head.
At first, I thought he was using that, like, as a metaphor. Like, you know how you always say you cut the head off and you kill the body, you know, whatever.
Body of
power.
But,
and I think he probably was, but then he got carried away and, you know, start naming names and talking about,
the head. Yo. How do you keep telling somebody to hit them and, like, but here's my thing, right? When he starts calling out names, right? What if that was one of your boys from college? Like, what if you went to college with, like, say, Crabtree, and you played for the Saints at the time? And dude is like, let's blow out his ACL. I'm like, yo, seriously? Like, he, like.
Because that's on the second clip. We're going to get to that if y'all didn't hear that part. My fault.
I'm jumping again.
Cool,
okay, I didn't know to say it earlier.
He's naming names. That's the part where I think the commissioner would have a problem with. If he, you know, he probably heard this stuff already, but if he didn't, it's really a wrap, because I pretty much think, you know, all coaches probably tell you, you know, we got to hit them hard and all that kind of stuff. But when you start naming names and injuries, that's a problem. And the second clip is worse than that one as far as names and injuries go, because he's telling his team who has what injury and what you should do to them while you're in the pile. That's where it goes a little overboard, especially.
But even on the one you just said, he said continue to hit the head, and I'm like, dog. First of all, if I was a player, I'm like, yo, do you know that we get fined a lot of money for that though? Like, he said hit the head. Why would I hit somebody in the head? They're gonna fine me $50,000. You got $2,000 in my face. I'm gonna get fined $50,000. I'm gonna hit him in the head.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And when we play that second clip, you know, there was a part people might not understand when he says, you know, I got the first one. Well, the guy who was doing the documentary who actually recorded this said while he was saying, I got the first one, he was, like, rubbing his thumb against his fingers, you know, like the money sign.
Yeah.
He was saying, I got the first one, so, you know. He pointed to his chin. He told them to hit Alex Smith. He said, hit him here, pointed to his chin, and said, I got the first one, like doing a little money sign.
I got a couple things about this. One, it just shows you the culture, because they were already under investigation when he was saying this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing. The second thing is, this is just a culture in the league. He felt so comfortable saying this, knowing there was a camera there because the guy was following him all season, and also knowing that you're already, like, you know, being investigated for this kind of stuff. He still felt comfortable enough to say it. Number two, Jim?
I've always heard, because you remember he was the coordinator for the Redskins, so I used to hear about him all the time. They said this dude is one of the most arrogant dudes in football. They said, and that's why he didn't get the job after Joe Gibbs left the second time, because, you know, when the rumors were out that, you know, he was picked so he can be his successor, you know, he was walking around telling people, oh, they can't do anything, you know, to me. I'm next in line. You know what I'm saying? I run the defense with no input, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's just an arrogant dude. And they ended up not hiring him, and he was kind of salty about that. That's why he ended up.
Another thing about this is, what I found funny is, a couple of days ago, I watched a documentary. It was about Joe Namath, one of them HBO
documentaries. Oh, yeah, I watched that last week, too. Yeah.
You saw that, John?
Yeah, you see
the kind of hits they were putting on him back in the day, cuz?
Uh-huh. That's Joe. He was hurt a lot.
Yo, it's sort of like, and they were saying, like, yo, we got to go out there and hurt him. It was the same concept. So this is nothing new. They're just going to make an example of him, and now they have footage. Well, you know that you live in a society where you got camera phones and people recording everything you say. You have to watch what you say, but he was, like you said, arrogant and comfortable enough to talk greasy and name names.
And that's, but that's the thing. I've listened to shows all day where callers called in saying, "Man, when I played football, my coaches said worse, and this has always been the culture, and you know they've always done this." But the fact of the matter is, Goodell and his administration, they're trying to, you know, sell safety to the players. You know, they're trying to sell that big because, you know, it's all about money because they want to get that 18-game season. So if they're selling them that we're trying to keep you as safe as possible, you can't publicly do this. Like it's cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing, you hate the fact that people's locker room banter and talks are getting out in public. You know, that's a bad thing in itself. But at the same time, like Jimmy said, they were already under investigation when he did this. So you got to tread a little more lightly, cuz. Like, you can't just be going out naming names and talking about hurting people, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when with the name part. Like, that was way over the top. Like, I mean, all that, they go for the head. And when you start naming names and seeing if they hurt or got concussions or leg injuries.
You name,
like,
names.
That's career-ending. Those are career-ending injuries. That's just not a hard hit to knock the wind out of somebody. He's talking about maybe all that career.
Yo, and those are dudes who could be on your team the next year. Like,
that's what I'm saying. In the era of free agency, I ain't doing that.
I hope my coach is doing these. I hope my coach is giving these same speeches. But that's neither here nor there. My thing is, the whole concept of trying to sell the NFL as a safe sport is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
it's funny, but at the same time, we talk about all the time how the game is turning soft because of the new rules. He's telling people to go for the head. You can't even hit people in the helmet no more.
I actually read it today. Did you know that Goodell had contacted ESPN? Remember they used to do the thing called Jacked Up on the Monday Night Jump? Or they
told
Jacked
them
Up? Did you realize they took that off?
Yeah, I realized that they replaced it with that Come On Man, which is even worse.
Yeah, they replaced it because they were trying to sell safety. They didn't want to be hypocritical by saying, hey, you can't do these type of things when, you know, one of their partners is doing Jacked Up. The fact of the matter is, this is why we watch football anyway.
Yeah.
They know what they signed up for. They signed up to get hit in the ACL. Man, look, I want a new campaign.
Garrett Blunt
free
said
Greg
he'd be
Williams,
cool
man.
With. He said he'd be
free
cool
Greg
with
Williams.
You know, a team having a bounty on him.
No,
that's
Greg
what I'm saying,
man.
Being you know,
free
the complaints that I have about the NFL turning soft, it's not really the stuff he's saying that has me appalled. It's the fact that he's saying it under investigation. You're saying it while you know somebody's in the locker room recording you. Like, I guess he tested Goodell. He thought he was soft. And Roger the Dodger said, nah, not going to go down that way. All right, so let's listen to the second part, because we didn't hype that up, talking about how, you know, how he was naming names and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to throw on the second part real quick. If I can find it, all right. All right, here we go.
Respect comes from fear. This is how you get respect in this league. We need to find out in the first two series of the game the little wide receiver number 10 about his concussion. We need to fucking put a lick on him right now. We need to fucking decide. We need to decide whether Crabtree wants to be a fake ass prima donna. Or he wants to be a tough guy. He needs to find him out. He becomes human. So I can take out that outside ACL. We need to decide on how many times we can beat Frank Gore's head. We need to decide how many times we can bull rush and we can fucking put Vernon Davis's ankles over the pot. We need to decide. And when they are fearing us, they give us the ball.
Come on,
Greg Williams, man.
Yo, homie got anger issues, guys. Homie got
that
anger
made it worse.
Man.
That
something
Vernon
wrong with
Davis.
That man.
First he says something.
Yeah,
you know,
the ankles.
He told him to test out the ball's ACL. That's terrible in itself. But
well, here's my problem. First off, the thing about the ankle,
he said in the pile. So he's telling you to do dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Because in the pile, the play is over. You know what I'm saying?
First off,
that's
there
is
no ACL
that's
outside,
where
though.
Shake.
If
that's
I'm not mistaken, there's no outside ACL. What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know.
He made
him
so mad. He made
himself PTL to MC. I don't know. He just made. He probably called all the ligaments an ACL. Just the one on the outside.
Bull said, get the outside ACL. So, what? How many ACLs is it? But no, the point is. Is the fact, the point is that, yo, what he was saying, like you said, because he said twist his ankle in the pile, see how his ankle holds up.
Yeah,
and then he said beat Frank Gore in the head. Didn't he say stomp, do something? He said stomp on his head. Damn, man. This fool is straight putting them dudes. Like, I mean, I can dig it when a coach is trying to, like, you know, amp them guys up. Tell them to hit.
I don't know about y'all, man. I got amped up listening to it, man. I'm going to go hit
this
somebody.
This wasn't an amp-up, though, because this speech was the night before the game, so this is not the hype-up speech. This was
serious. Oh, this is the night before the game?
Yeah, this was
night
before.
I thought that was
this
pregame.
This wasn't the pregame
speech,
because remember, this was at a meeting. The pregame speech, the head coach would do it in front of the whole team. This was a meeting.
He'd probably be handing out Glocks for the pregame speech.
Like the last
I got
Boy Scout.
Uzi over here. Y'all see the last Boy Scout? All right, who's going to do it? But, yo, that's amazing, cuz. And I guess the bad part about it is he had the gumption to do it during an investigation with a camera there. All right, if you're going to do it and you know you're getting investigated, at least tell dude to get the camera out of there, because you don't know where that film is going to end up, whose hands it is. And I guess he just thought that Goodell was never going to put the pressure on him, I guess. I guess he knew that the investigation was going on. He cocky.
Yeah, this player. Yeah, this player going around making hits, man. Coach Williams
cross,
service no longer needed.
He did cross
the
line with the ankle and the pile thing, though, because you can't even justify that. Is I'm just telling.
That's
them,
not even
know.
During the play.
Yeah,
the play's over when you do that.
They work the ankle while they're in the pile. Yo, why JR?
He said work it. How he works in my ankle?
Come on.
Man. Okay, work his ankle. anyway, here's my question to y'all. Do y'all think he will ever coach in the NFL again? Based on this.
No.
I'm thinking no.
No?
I'm thinking no, but at the same time, since it was,
I don't think
he'll
get a D1
since
job.
Since it was just words, maybe he'll just be out for some years. See, but that's the thing. Because it might not come down to whether or not Goodell allows him to coach. People might just be afraid to mess with him after that because they know the scrutiny that's going to come with a defense
he might
led
be
by Brett Wood. So I think he might get like a 2-year ban or something like that, but teams are going to be afraid to mess with him because like, I don't want that kind of attention.
He's going to have a will work for food sign or something, because he's like, I work for free.
Will work for outside ATL.
He said he wants to put a bounty on the CEO for Burger King for approving those whack ass fries they got. They fries this trash truck juice.
Yo, speaking of that, why was Mary getting so much flack for singing about the chicken rap, man? And she folded to the pressure, man. Black people, y'all need to stop being so sensitive, because y'all know y'all all eat chicken.
Yo,
come on, man.
Grew up on it.
I ain't gonna front, man. Like, yo, people be acting like, oh, great. Listen, man, I'll kill it. You let a chicken run in front of me right now. Yo, y'all can say what y'all want to say. Yo, personally, I love chicken, man. I love baked chicken, fried chicken, yo,
Jimmy,
chicken and gravy. Man,
Jimmy said, let a chicken run in front of me right now. Yo, he's going to like
his
neck. He's going
to
pray over
you
it first.
You don't try to catch a chicken, though?
The junk will be kosher or halal. He's going to pray over it before he slices his neck.
Y'all act like chicken ain't that work. Yo, chicken at work, man.
Yeah, like chicken ain't in America.
But that whole outrage about that whole Burger King and Mary thing, they were acting like, you know, she was singing a slave song or something. Like, I heard it this morning, and I'm like, that's what everybody was upset about? Like, seriously?
I didn't even hear the song.
I heard it on the radio this morning.
We got so many other issues going on, man. Some of them same people talking pork chop greasy about Mary aren't involved in their kids' school life. Some of them are deadbeat dads. So y'all got a lot of other issues to worry about.
And Jimmy, and some of them, after they finished complaining, went to Burger King. Let me try this snack wrap.
Snack wrap.
And if Mary didn't sing it, you'd know nothing about it. So stop being so sensitive. That was our, you know, our little public service announcement. It had nothing to do with Greg Williams.
That's our Black History. That's our Black History moment.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, what's Mary's Twitter handle? I'm about to tell her, like, yo, I'm shy to you. I'm about to go give me a chicken wrap right now.
Yeah, she wrote it, though. She fronted. She fronted on Burger King. She talking about,
what
I didn't like
how
it was edited. Like, what? You just saying that because people didn't And then edit, you just sang the song. It wasn't edited in no special way. You sang the song.
Like you ain't sing them words. Like they put somebody else's voice on it.
You sang about chicken. Like, they didn't edit that. Like, shut up, Mary. And she got $2 million for it. She got $2 million for that. I just tell everybody.
Man. Good song, so she stopped getting her ass kicked. Mary need to go back to that 411. But anyway.
Like Jimmy said, everybody got their price. $2 million. I sing about stuff I don't eat.
Give me comment. I sing about slavery.
I sing about Roe versus Wade. I'm about to say that.
Brown versus the Board of Education. Give me a couple more. I'm going to shoot bars
up. But, all right, real quick. Remember, we talked about Donovan and his comments about Mike Shanahan last week. Well, Mike Shanahan was asked about it, and he actually fired back. You know, he didn't really go too hard, but, you know, he kind of went smart. He said about Donovan's comments, you can go by so many different stats. The perception, the most basic one people look at is, did you win a Super Bowl at the end of the day? Win at his neck.
Mm.
Real quiet like.
Mm.
Real quiet like. He like, I got two bowls.
That was a
what
soft counter jab.
Yeah, what you got, Earth Station man? Like, yeah, so that was him. That's all he, you know, decided to do about the subject. He didn't go, you know, real bitter with it. He just, you know, just eased him real quick. What else happened in the NFL before we go? Oh, the Jets owner said that he would consider allowing the team to star in Hard Knock again if they were invited. Now, are y'all starting, is it just me or are y'all starting to think that the Jets are starting to care a little bit more about publicity than winning?
Yo, I'm starting to think they care a lot more about it. It's seeming like it.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you have the big blow-ups in the locker room.
I think here's my thing, though. I think they can't play without it, though. I think, like, if they try to shut up and just play football, they wouldn't be as effective. And I think it's partly their coach's fault. I mean, this is the kind of team that he wanted. He wants a controversial team, and, they, you know, this is how they play.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not about equal opportunity, so I would love for the Jets to be back on the show. I want to see, you know, I want to see Tebow floating to practice. I want to see Rex Ryan, what they're going to say. I want to see how the reps are split between the quarterbacks. I want to see the relationship between Santonio Holmes and Mark Sanchez. So I would love to see it, but if
that's
I was a Jets
TV,
fan,
huh?
I would probably be like, y'all need to slow down and shut up. Like, why you want to keep making a spectacle of the organization? You know, win some games. Like, they just worried about making splashes. They had all the anonymous comments about the quarterback. Then you pick up Tebow to get more attention, and now, you know, you want to
be
back on this show. Yeah.
Hey,
Devin, yeah,
PJ, who do y'all think right now is the best quarterback in the league?
Right now, I'd say Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, based on the
Joe
past year.
Joe Flacco said him, though.
I knew you was going somewhere with that.
I forgot about Joe.
Joe, now it was like an Eli situation where the guy asked him, you know, he asked him, where do you rank amongst quarterbacks? He didn't ask him if he was elite. He said, where do you rank? So, you know, he was saying, of course I'm in the top five. I think I'm the best. My opinion, Joe Flacco don't believe that. He just knows what society thinks. He knows that people are going
to
say, you know, what else are you supposed to say? You know, he doesn't look like a punk.
That. Listen to this, y'all. I don't even
he don't look like
let's
a punk.
Somebody ask me right now where I rank. Somebody ask me where I rank. I'm going to say I'm top five in the league. I don't even know nothing about no league.
top five.
He ain't the best quarterback in Baltimore County.
Joe was saying what he thought he was supposed to say. You know, he don't want to look like a punk. Especially, I mean, how you going to go back to in front of Ray Lewis at punked out.
Look, man.
On the joint.
Did you guys see that, man? Let's get out of here. By the way, I'm top five in the league, yo. Thanks for hanging out in the warp this evening, good people. Shout out to everyone who participated in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, those that called in, rapping to us. Tune in next week, same time, same place, as we bring you all of the going-ons in the world of sports. We'll also be talking once again to MMA fighter Kyle Sefcik about an upcoming grand opening of his school and training facility in Damascus, Maryland. We don't want to miss that. But for now, enjoy your weekend. And until next week, everybody, catch us online. Easy.
You're nothing without focus. Woo. Long Beach.
Lyrical murderer, blame rock him. I'm a sniper shooting my way into your lame top 10. Pistol at your head if I ain't next to Eminem. Then I bust in your face like a fucking little Kim. Niggas better pray to the lyrical lord that I fall off like the umbilical cord before I fill up the morgue. This is how a killer record with the double edge, triple syllable sword. I'm elegant or generic. See, I'm a literary genius. Bury niggas with words of cemetery linguist. Most rappers are comedy gold. They like they boyfriend's sodomy hole. They full of shit. Now you can walk through the shadow of death next to that shady street where the verbal cocaine business and 80s meet. Where them niggas is backwards. I'm riding with my daughter in the front with the 8K in the baby seat. We them copycat killers, unleash venom. Commit them lyrical murders and then we recommit them. Lyrics be high quality, bitches be giving me brain. My dick be deep in their heads like psychology. Independently penning the best words that were ever said. A mixture of leatherhead and Everclear. You can't hide, we everywhere now. Picture a grizzly standing next to a teddy bear.
Hello, hip-hop, I am here, you dying, yeah, I'm aware, a beast, so at your wake, I fry lion's tears, and that's no disrespect to the pioneer, the queen, who you try to get, something either wrong with your eyes and ears, came in this game, screaming girls, ain't a MC in our lane, they try and merge, try and run with our ways, but I'm cool with being Eddie LaVert, seeing my son on stage, I'm gon' blaze, act up in this joint, and I'ma be Nate Robinson and back up the point, it runs over, run with us again. Get run over, I'm here to save this shit, and I'm from soldiers. This is lyrical murder, me and every track have a physical merger. When I stab it in the chest, I'm a bit of a curver, so it bleeds to death, like the middle of an unfinished burger. Or sometimes I wrap my hand around his throat, cause he think his kick is slick or his little snare dope. Shoot the bass in the face, but sometimes I carry rope to hang the piano keys when they hitting every note. I'm with no beats, able to withstand. If you suffer from writer's block and your label got big plans, listen to this, fam. Slide a little show out that budget and hire the instrumental hitman.